Good evening, Moira Verabois. Good evening. How are you all? Good. Good, Baruch Hashem. Okay, we're learning tonight an interesting halacha, which we touched on last year, and then we're moving on to additional halachas. This week we shall be learning, Mitzvah Hashem, some of the most, probably true to say, some of the most common halachas with regard to tefillah b'tzibah. We'll be learning when can you count somebody as a minyan man? So we'll be touching on the shailas of somebody being Mechal Shabbos, for instance, or Bar Mitzvah boy. Have you heard of somebody holding a pre-Bar Mitzvah boy holding a Sefer Torah or a Chumash? Have you heard about this? We'll be learning these halachas in Mitzvah Hashem this week. If you're short of a minyan, and the 10th, the minyan boy is not Bar Mitzvah yet, and by holding a Chumash, does that help or not? We'll be learning this halacha. We shall also be learning about when actually you have five people in one room, five people in another room, one of them it's tarif. You've got upstairs, downstairs people, you've got people who can see each other but cannot see each other. All these halachas will be discussed. These are really, really, really important halachas. We'll be learning when you started Shmoneh Esrei, there was a minyan but then some escaped. Can you carry on Shmoneh Esrei or not? All those halachas, really, really, really important halachas, will be discussed this week. They're really some of the most important halachas when it comes to tefillah b'tzibah. We'll be also learning about an interesting shaila about. We'll be learning also shaila of the bima. If somebody's going up the bima, a few steps, a fascinating halacha. So there's a few steps on the bima. There's actually, can you add that person if there's nine people excluding him? Person went up the bima a few steps, you know, the old-fashioned shuls, and then there's like a fence around it, and can you actually count him for a minion or not? So there's really fascinating halachas this week, really important halachas. But before that, we're still to complete Siman Nun Gimel Sif Chof Hei, and the halacha that we just the last two lines of the Ramah, which is a very, 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 well, it's not a controversial Ramah, but it's always got into controversies, which is the following. I'm starting the two lines from the bottom of page 168. Shliach tzibur shehizkin yov a shliach tzibur got old. Uveroitze lemano is bnoi, and he wants to appoint his son. Lesayo elifrok, he wants to have his son to assist him at occasionally. Afol pish en koil bnoi orev kekoil, although his son's voice is not all that great. His voice is not all that sweet. His voice is not all that great as his father, as himself. If he can take his position in that particular area, b'noi koydim lecholodom, his son comes first. Vein atzibu yicholi limchois biyodo, in atzibu, the community cannot be moicha, they cannot protest. So this is a very, very important halacha. And we're going to see the Mishneh Berurah says, it's not only, let's see Mishneh Berurah, Tzivkot and Pei Gimel. Shliach tzibu v'uadin b'chol ha'minuyim gankem b'noi koydim. This is not just with regards to a chazan. This is a halacha which we find also with regards to any shtelas, any positions. If there is a person who has been running, who had a job for many years, he's been successfully a chazan, successfully a rav, a dayan, you name it, any position, and he's had it for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, now he feels they just don't have the strength anymore to run that position successfully. He's got his son, may not be the first one went into business, the third son goes in his father's footsteps, whether it's a chazan, a dayan, a rav, and he wants his son to take over the position. Now, if the son would excel and would be the man, that even if it would be a vote, he would be voted in straight away, there's nothing to talk about. You know, he's outstanding. But we're not talking about it. We're talking about that he may not be on a superior quality than other candidates. He is not that amazing. There is other candidates who may be a drop better than him. The halacha is b'noi koydam, the son comes first. We like Yerusha. We like the fact that he is his father's son, and therefore he comes first. Don't say, why don't we take the other ones? The answer is, we're not going to take the other ones because he's his son. And because his son is b'noi koydim, he comes first. So the chazan over here, that his voice, it wasn't all that great. It's not bad. You can't get away with it. It's not bad. But it's not all that great as his father's. He goes. Yeah.
Why is just a minhag or is there proper halacha?
It's a halacha.
How come?
Why? What bothers you about it?
The sons of Moshe?
Yes. Very good. So it must be a very good question. It's a very good question. What we found about Moshe Rabbeinu, the successor was Yeshua ben Nun.
Rabbi Rabbi Ovadia Yosef passed away, none of his sons took over.
Right.
Yeah,
I don't know about that part, but I know about Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a very good question.
Yeah, but none of them become Maran. None of them become the head of...
With regards to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a very good question. Very good question. So, Rabbi Yisrael, what do you think? It isn't a Yerusha.
Exactly.
It isn't. You're right. You're right. As the Gemara says, Munachas bekeren zovis, the Torah is on the corner. Kol haroitze litoil, whoever wants to take it, come and chap it, come and grab it, and you'll be a Talmid Chochem yourself. It's definitely true that anybody has got, some of our greatest gedolim, their fathers were not gedolim. Some of our greatest Talmid Chochem of this generation as well as previous generations, some of the greatest gedolim and goyne Yisrael, their fathers were not necessarily gedolim. Nevertheless, there is something, if possible, we try to take this on, if it's possible.
Like, he didn't say it like that.
What did I say?
You said, you know, there's no question. If he wants his son to continue...
No, only if he's within the category. If he's an Amoretz, if he knows nothing, or if his voice is completely flat... Right, if it is slight, somebody who is slightly better than him, we're going to take his son. Slightly better. And... I don't have a 1 minute. Look at the Mishnah Berurah's wording, and I wonder what you think about this. So the Mishnah Berurah Pei Gimel says, "V'uadim b'chol aminuyim." Similarly, with all appointments, Gam Kain also Bnoi his son Koidim comes first. Ve'afilu, and even Yesh Achirim Gedolim Memenu. Even if there's others who are slightly greater than him. Since he fills his father's position. So since he fills his father's position, he's going to go first. There are others who argue, who hold that with the Talmid Chochem Hamunah Leharbitz Torah when it comes to spreading of Torah words, or when it comes to judging, there when it comes to Psak Halacha, we don't go with sons first, we Cholkim, and there again there's a Machloikes. So there are Cholkim with regards to that. I'm Bemogen Avraham, with Knesset Gdol, with Stomach of Chus, Cham Soif, Chelik, Oichaim, Simon Yud Gimel. This remains a bit of a Machloikes, but generally, certainly when it comes to a Chazan, we take his son, and when it comes to Psak Halacha, there's a bit of a machloikas as to whether we take the son if there's others who are slightly greater, but many poskim do go with the Pashto of the Ramah and say that we're going to take the son. Now, I want to tell you something, which my personal, what I witnessed in a few occasions, that there were communities who the Rav was Nifta, or Adayin was Nifta, and they were looking for somebody to take the position. And there was a son who was worthy, but they said that we're not committed to the son. We might as well see in the big wide world if there is anybody more compatible, if there's anybody greater than that. And they searched, and they searched, and they looked, and they searched. And then eventually, although there was a son who may have fit very comfortably into that role, but they looked for somebody else, and they took somebody else. So often you see that the appointment of another person after a father has been serving the community for many, many years, somebody else comes, it always comes a little bit of a shock to the system and a bit of a revolution. Sometimes it's healthy, but sometimes not. So although the other candidate who was not related at all may have taken the position, or could be he was a little bit greater than Torah, could be a little bit better, could be he was a little bit greater, but since he's so different from such a different background, with a different history behind him, sometimes it just doesn't go all that well. As opposed to if you take the son, he knows already the community, he knows the machinery, he knows where to step, where not to step, what to do, what not to do, which pick your battles type of thing. And often we see that there is a lot of merit in having a son of somebody from a previous generation. There is a merit in that. So we understand why, it's a bit of an explanation why, that of course, Torah is for everybody. Everybody should grab the Torah and try to aim to be a Talmid Chacham. And we're all striving, wherever our backgrounds, we're striving to excel in Torah. But when it comes to positioning the community, there is some credit, there is something to it. If his father was already in the community and served as a Rav, does that make sense? Do you agree to that? I think with that, we often see that it just works out better. Often, but yeah, yes.
question and a comment. Question, did this follow the rules of Yerusha?
Not completely, no. No, not completely. That's a good question. It's not mamash. She's saying that if there is no son, does the nephew come? Is that what you're asking?
No,
I don't think so. I'm not 100% sure, but I do not think so. It's bnoi memale mokay mavoisav. It's dafka son, yeah. There's a tshuva in the poskim about our son-in-law. That I did see. There's tshuvas in the poskim about our son-in-law. And some actually say a son-in-law will actually work. If there's no son who can take the shtala, who'll be a son-in-law? Pardon? We find it. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, but in Peshbuk was talking like that for Deira Deira, so it was a son thing, yeah.
That was my comment. The Chasam Sofer and the Sub Sofer, they didn't exactly, he didn't fit so nicely into his father's
God. Right. There was definitely a difference, yeah. But it's interesting that if you're branching that example, This is a story that shows a bit of Ashkocha. The Heilige Sam Sofer was appointed as a Rav and Av Beis Din Roshiva of Peshborg. He served as a community, previously was in Mattersdorf. He was Rav in Peshborg for 33 years before he was Nifta. After he was Nifta, there was a bit of a tumult, but his son eventually became the Rav of Peshborg, Rabbi Avraham Shmuel Binyamin Sofer. He himself, he was not the oldest, but he took the position of the Av Beis Din of Peshborg. He himself was Rav for 33 years in Peshborg. He was Nifta, after 33 years exactly, he was Nifta. After he was Nifta, his son took the Rabbonus, and he was the Shevet Simcha, Shevet Sofer, who wrote a sefer called Shara Simcha, Shevet Sofer, Shara Sofer, Shevet Sofer. He himself was Heb Simcha Bunim Sofer. He was again Rav in Peshborg for guess how long? 33 years. After 33 years, he was Nifta. And then after he was Nifta, his son in turn became the Rav, Reb Akiva Sofer, named after his great grandfather, Reb Akiva Eiger. And he was Rav for, I think, 31 or 32 years when the war broke out. And he escaped. He escaped to Eretz Yisrael. And as he reached Eretz Yisrael, he said he's taking over. He's taking over the robe of Rabbonus. The Rabbonus is taking it off, and he's not taking any position in Eretz Yisrael. He was. I don't blame him. And he lived for a number of years after that. So, but we see that was there certain Ashkocha. This is quite an amazing story that how the history of the Peshborg and Kehilat the Rabbonus. It certainly shows the Ashkocha of the son taking over the Rabbonus of his father. Right. By the way, just as an absolute footnote, it's interesting that I heard from my brother-in-law that Dan Krauss in Manchester, he was serving as the Rav of Manchester Beis Din for many years. Dan Krauss, yeah? All familiar to Dan Krauss in Manchester, so Lang Zunten Stark. He retired a couple of years ago. Does anybody remember when he retired? Anybody familiar with Dan Krauss? He retired, and he retired also after, I think it was 32 years, because he's a great-grandson of the Heilige Chasam Sofer, he's the Einik of the Chasam Sofer, and he was very nervous about this. So he retired at the Beis Din of Manchester because he was nervous about that. And he retired, and Baruch Hashem, he's carrying on, being Marbitz Torah, Dan Krauss. Yep. So I heard from my brother-in-law. Okay, so, pardon? Yeah, it's interesting, because the Chasam Sofer, many tshuvas, he wrote Gal Einai, he often writes in his tshuvas, well, Gal Einai, v'abita nifloes mesoi rosecho. Gal Einai, open my eyes, v'abita, and I will see niflois, the wonders, mesoi rosecho of your Torah. Gal Einai, abita nifloes mesoi rosecho. If you look at the gematria, apparently, I didn't have a counter, that's why Gal is 33. Gal is 33, it's the number of okay, fine. So, he continues the Shulchan Aruch in Tziv Chavav. Kahal, a community shenoagu lemanos anoshim al tzoke tzibo lizman. Okay, this is also very relevant to any rabbonus. Most rabbonus don't have a contract. You don't have a one-year opt-out type of contract with rabbonim nowadays. And there's actually reason for it. Let's see what Shulchan Aruch says. Kahal, a community shenoagu lemanos anoshim al tzoke tzibo lizman. Communities who appoint regularly their service providers on a community lizman for a fixed amount of time. And after that time is finished, after that time, there is a replacement. So communities that do replace after a certain amount of time, chazan for 2 years, after another chazan comes for 2 years, etc., etc., etc. Bein le chazan, whether it's a chazan, bein le kupa shel stoker, whether it's the gabbat stoker, the one who is in the treasurer of the community, bein le shar minuyim, whether any other appointments, atzrichim le tzibur, which are communal appointments, bein shenoitim aleim schar, whether they get paid, bein shenem noitim, whether they do not get paid, afilu, loikov aleim zman, even if they were not fixed, there was no fixed time. Stomon keperushon, the stom is as if we be explicit. Me'achas shenagukach, as me'achas sin shenagukach, since this is the custom. Mishabu explains this a little bit. In Zivkot and Peivov, he says the following. Hatzibu, lizman, ein betshuvzchem das shloime, besoche chazen lizman gimel shonim. If a chazen was appointed for 3 years, the masiga achdine de hoche, who daf gemogish aminik shalach hazman yotzu eilu. Aval bizman einu, nowadays, she'en derech lesalik b'loi chashode. Nowadays, when you have an appointment, a few years appointment, ein derech lesalik b'loi chashode, then you don't remove those people without the chashode, unless there's a real reason why you have to remove them from the job. Vadayen lesalke b'chino mishum. So the point of the Shulchan Aruch is that if there is no, once there is an appointment which is for a few years, then the halacha is you don't replace them unless you've got a real reason to replace them. If there's an appointment which is a few years appointment, you don't change them after, unless there's a real good reason. If the general understanding is this is a fixed contract that is going to last, you don't replace them. It's a 1 year contract. It's a 1 year contract, say. But if the normal understanding is that this is something which is going to last longer, it's a life contract, you're not actually allowed to remove them after the year. Don't say, I've got a 1 year contract, I'm allowed to sack him after the year. No, because it's a general understanding. This is just on paper 1 year contract, but generally, these are life appointments, so you're not actually allowed to remove them after a year, unless you've got a real, real good reason to do so. There is actually historically an interesting addition I want to say, that it's actually interesting that generally there's a reason why we don't have contracts more than 3 years. We don't, if you have a Rav, an appointment of a Rav, or a Magid Shir, or a Dayan, or whatever it may be, we don't generally have contracts more than 3 years. If it's, pardon? Yeah, well, there's more to it. There's more to it, although you're not wrong. There's more to it. If it's a part, very much a part-time job, maybe, I'm not talking about that. But if it's most Rabbonis or Dayonis, is something which takes over a person's life. They may get paid part-time, but really it's much more than that. And there is a problem. If you were to make this into a more than a three-year contract, there would be an element of avdus in it. Avdus. And that's why historically we don't do more than three-year contracts when it comes to a Rav. Because you're asking him to be like your Eved, he's going to be enslaved to you. We don't want that. It's totally inappropriate to make a slavery. It's slavery. Slavery. So you make a 1 year contract or a 2 year contract or 3 year contract max, but not more than that. That's where it comes from. There's a history to it. So therefore, we don't do more than 3 year contract because there will be an element of avdus. Continues the Ramah, the final halacha, which is not connected to the previous halacha, which is the following. Yesh mishakasav the shliach tzibur ispal mitoich sefer amyuchad letzibur. The halacha is that a shliach tzibur should daven from a sefer, meaning from a siddur or a machzor, hamyuchad, which is designated a tzibur to the community, the vada nichtav lishmoy, because that sefer certainly right lishmoy with the right intention. The Mishnah Berurah explains if cotton peizayin nichtav lishmoy perish nichtav l'shem shemayim v'lo l'shem hatiforus. It's written clearly l'shem shemayim, not for any ulterior motives. It's written l'shem shemayim. V'afilim ha-sidur shel ha-yochid u'b'ksav noy yoyse me'atzibur. Remember those sidurim, those machsoim, of course, were written by hand, of course. So he said, even if you're going to find another safe, another machsa, which is written with a nicer handwriting, don't take the nicer handwriting one, stick to the one which was written for the community, which was written for the chazan. So therefore,
this would be well out of date.
I'm not sure how common it was though for Sidurim and Machsoirim. Yeah, no, but I'm saying that even the Mishnah Berurah, the Ramah, in the Ramah's times, that I'm sure there was, but I don't know how common it was. I don't know how common it was, printing press, I don't know how common it was.
Certainly, the Chofetz Chaim is writing this now.
Yeah, the Chofetz Chaim.
He ever wrote, was printed in the printing house.
Yeah, you're right, and the post came. Look what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah actually adds this very here. Let me just finish this. Even if the other one is nicer, now he adds your point. With printed Sforim, Mamash, your point. It doesn't make a difference. So if it comes to handwritten Sforim, make sure you use the one which is written for the community, which is written with a special intention. Writes, it is always proper and appropriate that a chazan should use a siddur or a machsa, even if he knows it by heart. Even if he knows by you do use a siddur, use a machsa. And now comes the final Mishnah Berurah. Rabbi said, you know why a chazan is called a chazan? Why is a chazan called a chazan? Where does that word come from? Vision. Very good. Chazon, yeah. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Pardon? Yeah, for the same nusach, says the Mishnah Berurah, the last line, the koirin shliach tzibur chazan, the reason why a chazan is called a chazan, shetzorich lirois ha'echiko, he needs to see how he's going to read, the targum vayar, and the translation, the Aramaic translation of vayar, of seeing, v'chazi means to see. So a chazan has to be the one seeing. I don't know if that's the poshup shat of the Mishnah Berurah, but it certainly means that as well, that he needs to be fully aware of the needs of the community, both in a on a practical level, he needs to see how, do they want to daven fast, do they want to daven slow, he needs to be aware of the needs of the tzibur, but also he needs to be, that's on a practical level, he needs to see the needs of the community, do they want speed, do they want slow, do they want emotion, do they not want emotion, do they need to see what they want, but more than that also he needs to see the hearts of the olim, he needs to see that tzoras, that suffering, he needs to see that problem, he needs to be representing the tzibur in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He needs to see the community, he needs to be aware of the community, he needs to be aware of the tzibur. That's why chazan is called a chazan. But, right, so that's the point of using a machzo, a siddur, which is miuchat for tzibur. I remember that when I was in Gateshead, yeshiva, there was a machzo which was used in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Yom Shana Torah. It wasn't Gateshead, anybody. It was a machsa. I remember when the show was still in Gateshead, there was the machsa. It was the machsa that the show used on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And he said, I don't remember hearing it from himself, but people said there was a machsa, and there was at one point, there was, I think it was even blood. Once he cried so hard, there was blood coming from his, it was almost blood on the actual machsa. And he said that he was not going to give away that machzah. Whatever machzah they're going to replace, he's going to use that machzah. He's going to use that machzah. That's the machzah that makes the tefillah powerful tefillah. Yeah, so we certainly see the idea that the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says, that one should make sure that the chazan, certainly before it was printed, should ensure to use the machzah or siddur, which is miuchad or tzibur. Simon Nun Dalet, let's start. Dine ha-shayochim le-ishtabach, dine with regards to ishtabach. Yishtabach eino peseches bevoruch. Yishtabach does not start with boruch. She smuch le boruch shama. She shtem nisknu al psuki de zimra. Zulifneim bezul achereim. Yishtabach, we've mentioned earlier, is the completion of psuki de zimra. So it starts with boruch shama, which has a brocha, and then comes psuki de zimra. And the end, the completion is with yishtabach at the very end. There is no boruch by yishtabach because it's the brocha of boruch shama really goes all the way at Kiddush Tabach. Good, because it's a Brocha Arukah, so it's called the Brocha Arukah. Brocha Arukah, you'll have Brocha at the beginning and a Brocha at the end. That's the way Chazal was sacking it. There's a Brocha there as well, and then a real Brocha is at the end. It's like the Mishnah Berurah says, Afal gav the psukim mafsikim beinayim, although there's psukim in the middle which interrupt the brocha, lo yav hefsik, it's certainly not considered a hefsik. Psukim zimra is not an interruption, of course. K'moy brocha achronish b'kiyashma, like we find the brocha at the end of kiyashma, oy behalel, or similarly also with halel, shagam kenel mascheles b'voruch, my time which also doesn't start with boruch. So we find the brocha at the beginning, by boruch shama, and then it's psukim zimra, and then the shtabach has a brocha at the end. And this is to put everything together, and it really, really go together. It's a one big unit of Psukei Dezimra. To recap what we covered tonight, Beis Hashem is Brach Shemoy. We started learning the halacha of Yerusha with regards to a chazan that even if he's not all that great in all the competitors, the Sfan is entitled to be Mamana his son. And it was a very hot topic in many communities throughout the generations. But he's allowed to, he's got a right to do so, unless of course he's totally out of sync. I mean, unless he, but that's where it gets always very complicated in many, because he says he's within the category, he's fine, and the other remaining communities is not even a competition to anybody else. So that's where it gets very, very sticky. He says he's my son and he's allowed to be my Yerush, and others say that no, I mean doesn't even come into question at all. So that's where the machloek has got really really heavy. But that's the halacha that we find over here. We saw the Mishnah Berurah says that with regards to chazanos in particular, with regards to being a rav or daonos, it's not so poshut. But it seems that Mishnah Berurah is noted that there is Yerusha there as well. We then carry on Sif Chavav that tells us that generally speaking. Although the contract may be for only 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, but nevertheless, unless there's a real reason to sack somebody, he keeps going. If the understanding was initially that it's a live contract and you just change your mind, the contract is to remain strong. I mean, the appointment is to remain strong. We then learned as well that the Ramah says that a Shliach Tzipur is meant to daven from a Sefer Mishnah Miyuchad, which is designated for Tzipur. Mishnah Berurah says this is specifically when he was handwritten. If it's printed matter, it doesn't really apply so much. We then learned Simen Nun Dalet Sif Aleph, which tells us the Shtabach doesn't start with Boch because he relies on the Boch of the Boch Sha'ama. And this is the takana was made in that way, that is prior to Pesukah the Zimah, there's a Bocha, and afterwards there is Yishtabach. And we'll continue with more halachas if based tomorrow.